Hey everybody, Jay Schlansky here from the Fifth Trooper Network. I just want to take a moment to thank you for checking out this show. Did you know that over at thefifthtrooper.com we have tons of other content, including blogs, other podcasts, all kinds of stuff. In addition, if you want access to exclusive content, you can join us on patreon.com/thefifthtrooper and join at any level and you'll get access to exclusive blog articles, access to our private Discord, and much more. So please check us out and thank you so much for all your support.
Welcome to the Notorious Scoundrels, a Star Wars Legion podcast bringing you the latest news, general perspective, and competitive discussion.
Hello and welcome back to the Notorious Scoundrels podcast. I'm Kyle. I'm here with Mike. How's it going, Mike?
Hey, it's been better. I've been better. I'm a little sick.
You sound a little congested.
Yeah. So sorry to our listeners at home. I'm going to attempt to not cough in your ears today. So excuse me if I do, but I will be trying my best. I've been a little under the weather. So how have you been?
I've been all right. You know, it's the weekend was very rainy, I'll say that. And as a result, the kids were inside for most of it, which, you know, is rough for everybody.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. There was a lot of frozen rain yesterday, too. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just been kind of gross. Like, if it's going to be cold and wet, like, I'd rather just snow.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people say that. I don't think they really mean it.
That's fair. It's definitely easier for driving if it's rain and not snow.
I think particularly around here, like what you mean, I think, is you want it to like snow, right? Like,
because no, like be around fine here, with like a, I'd be fine with like an inch.
But it's going to be just as nasty here if we get an inch of snow, because it's going to immediately melt and immediately get all muddy and mucky and I don't know.
Yeah, but it's prettier.
For like all of 2 hours.
Sure.
Okay. I don't know. All right. Well, you heard her here first. Snow is better than rain, guys.
I'm kind of a snow junkie.
Okay.
So
there you go.
Yeah, but I will say when I went over the holidays, I went back to Chicago to visit the fams and do Christmas with the grandparents and stuff. And it rained like half the time we were there. And all the driving we did, which was a lot, would have really sucked if all that was snow. So
there you go.
Yeah.
See, my point has been proven.
It was bizarre for it to be like 60 degrees and rainy on Christmas, but you know, it is what it is. Okay. We are going to talk. I guess our delay this week was slightly fortuitous because we got a nice news item. I don't know if it was yesterday, but early this week. Inquisitors are coming out on March 8th, which means that they will be legal for the World Championships. This is, there's no cutoff now. People are like, well, does that make the 11-day thing? There's no 11-day rule anymore. As long as something is released before the tournament, it's legal. So, yeah.
So let's hope a shipping container falls off a boat somewhere, right?
Well... It'd have to be a lot of shipping containers because I assume there's more than one shipping container being sent to at least the United States, which would be the official street date. There was, I think this was the poor Argentinians. There was a shipping container that actually fell off a boat, and it was like, this was back when it was, I think it was X-Wing, maybe. I don't know if Legion was a thing yet, but they basically like lost an entire wave's worth of releases for like 8 months. Because everything that was sent to this one country was on a single shipping container, and the shipping container fell into this Pacific Ocean.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. I mean, bank error in our favor on this one, I guess. Inquisitors for Worlds. It's the Christmas gift everyone wanted.
I sense a little bit of sarcasm in your voice.
No, absolutely not, Kyle. I don't know what you're talking about. This is exactly what I wanted to see. A game-breaking unit released on the eve of the World Championship. That's never, ever happened before. I don't know.
I'm not con so I guess we can just get right into our Inquisitor takes. First of all, I will say that I'm obviously a notorious Force user player historically. I've played a lot of different tanks, but I think I've probably had my most success when using Force users. So now that I can get two for the price of one, I'm very excited about this. I'm at least very excited to try
Two
it.
for the price of one, bargain. Like force users at their
BOGO.
local deli.
Buy
I don't know.
one, get one.
Yeah, you're
Special
right.
coupon. I'm not convinced. I think these could be a unit very similar to, and I don't mean this necessarily, I don't mean this in a good way. Let's be clear about that. I think this could be a unit that's kind of similar to Dark Troopers, where they force a lot of list building constraints on people without ever actually like breaking through and being like a consistently successful thing. And I say that because the thing that they do best, and it seems like what they're designed to do, is to counter aggressive force users. And most of the aggressive force users have already kind of been like hedged out and are less popular. You know, we're talking about l both versions of Luke, Dooku, Vader, Ventress,
Mall.
Maul. Like these are force users that have not been seeing success really in the last. I think it's kind of been since the choke nerf, but it really, if you go even further back to the deflect nerf, the only force user really besides Anakin and Yoda that you've seen have any sort of consistent success is Ahsoka.
Yep. It's not a coincidence that she supports the army in a similar way.
Right.
In my opinion.
Right. She doesn't, she definitely can like get in there and mix things up, but she doesn't need to.
Yeah, and
Whereas,
yeah, go ahead.
whereas all those other ones on the list kind of need to because they don't offer a lot of value to their army when they're just like chilling in the back lines. It's yet to be seen if these Inquisitors are going to be effective enough against the defensive force users like Yoda and Anakin. Certainly being unable to like dislodge an opposing force user from your lines once they're in there is a big deal.
Well, it's a huge deal.
I don't know if it's a big enough deal to like overcome the fact that that Republic list is going to shred the rest of your Empire's list. Because that's my biggest issue as I've been going through and trying to build lists and like play with Inquisitors is that the Empire shell, and by shell I mean like all the stuff that you put around them, right? Just gets like still gets absolutely marked by Republic, specifically arcs, but kind of by everything. And there's not a lot. I mean, Inquisitors don't support your units directly.
No.
So there's not a lot that they do to like change that dynamic. Now, maybe the fact that they can get in and stay there, m maybe that'll be enough to like do sort of a Vader style between the two of them. Like, I'm gonna just win the game by myself, even if all my other stuff is dead. I don't know. But I'm a little bit skeptical that they're gonna be any good against like the Force users currently that are actually good, and that's Anakin and Yoda. So I don't know how much they'll actually like move the needle from a meta perspective, except to make you want to play the units that you already don't want to play even less.
So I sort of agree. I think I agree with the general premise that I think a lot of your argument is based on how Inquisitorious training is going to affect those games, right? But I sort of am feeling like generally speaking, like 100-point force users, 100-point force push is like just really cheap, and like we're talking about, like you can have a force user basically at the cost of like what's Boba nowadays? Boba Fett's 130.
130, yeah, with upgrades because you want Cs, you probably won't recon until he's like minimum 137.
Yeah, so we're talking like you can take either Seven Sister or Fifth Brother, and I know on paper, like they look like you kind of have to take them together. I don't think that's the case, and I don't think you even I think you can also take either solo. And just like being able to like take like one of the reasons Boba Fett is good in these Imperialists is because he like offers an affordable like 130 point out to enemy force users. Well, now you can take your own force user that still does that for less. Obviously, it like doesn't do some of the other things Boba does, but like, would you rather have Boba or a force user, Kyle, if they cost the same?
I think that's debatable.
Okay, that's why
I
we're having
think,
the conversation, right?
yeah, I think Boba's killing power, particularly at range, is significantly higher.
Oh, absolutely. But you could say that, just to be clear, you could say that about Boba versus Darth Vader, or Boba versus
Sure.
like, yeah, like
Yeah.
that's not that I'm not sure that like that's a fair buck stops here sort of argument.
Yeah, I mean, what gives me pause about yes, they're going to be extremely frustrating for any force user that's trying to like get in there and do anything against an Imperial army. They're going to be very frustrating for any player that wants to like remove them from their lines. But I don't want to say Jin because that's like an extreme example.
Were you gonna? Were you just about to compare these to Jin?
No, so I'm not going to compare them to Jin because their
Good,
offense
because
is
you would be
significantly
very
better.
wrong. You would be
Yeah.
extremely wrong.
And she's also like comparatively costed, which is a little bit silly. I think a better comparison probably is like Sabine, like old school Darksaber Sabine. Obviously, Sabine does not have Force Push. And with Darksaber, she's still significantly more expensive. What, like 140 points,
I'm
I
taking a
think?
look right now. I will tell you. Sabine Wren is 125 before you give her the Darksaber. She's 140 with the
Okay,
Darksaber
that's
with
what I thought.
no other upgrades.
So clearly far more expensive. But
And I'd like to point out that her Darksaber has the same profile as these lightsabers.
that's kind of my point.
Oh, okay.
Is in melee they are Sabine with a Darksaber, which
Actually, they're better. They've got impact too. Instead of one.
okay, not usually relevant, but
Hey, if you're fighting dark troopers, it is.
yes, if you're fighting Dark Troopers it is. But she also has Surge Crit.
They do not. That's
And they
correct.
do not have Surge Crit. So that's probably a
Oh,
wash
yeah,
with the
it's a
impact.
wash.
Now, obviously, Fifth Brother has RAM, which is significant. He has probably more likelihood of activating Tenacity, which is also significant. But, like, generally speaking, you know, Sabine with a Darksaber or like Din, who frankly has a pretty similar melee attack pool, that's not something historically that you're like super scared of them actually like being engaged with and killing your units. You know, you can eat a significant portion of that pool with dodges. Like they're probably gonna kill like 2 to 3 models a turn, which is not nothing, especially if you can't really hurt them because of their mastery of melee control, basically. So that's not nothing. You know, clearly Sabine doesn't have the same kind of melee control that these two offer with both the double force push and the denial of said force push. So that could be like, I'm not discounting that that in itself could be a big deal, but they're not going to actually kill a lot with their lightsabers, and you might just be able to punch them to death.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. They're definitely their lightsabers. These are not units that are made to kill other units.
No, they're not.
Flavor foul, I guess. But I think they are extremely good at controlling the board.
Yep.
And I think, I don't know. I agree that they don't seem super great into the Republic meta lists, which definitely seem to kind of be like at least like here, kind of the top of the heap at the moment. But I do think they're pretty good against most other things that aren't like Wookiees and Ewoks. Like Rebels are not going to be happy to see an Inquisitor on the other side of the tomb.
Oh no! And look, I've been painting up the Han Cassian list that I played at PAX because I was pretty excited about it. And I think it's obviously I lost our game, but I think it has better play into Yoda than most other lists do.
Yeah,
and that was kind of like my plan A for Worlds. I'm gonna see how the Inquisitors do, but I would definitely not want to run into them with that Cassian list because you have
I don't
like,
think so either.
Other than trying to like slap them with K2 or Chewie, like there's very little you can do about it when they get in there. And that five black dice pool is actually going to have a lot of play into like relatively dodgeless white saves.
It's still going to eat your units in two swings, right?
Right, because that list relies a lot on like low profile and Chewie Guardian and stuff like that to keep your expensive but fragile units alive. And if they get into like a commando unit and take a swing, I mean they're going to kill like four commandos, and that's just not something that you can deal with. So they do have, yes, they will be good against non-Republic gun lines.
I mean, I think like, you know, I'm thinking about like, if we go back to like, not to give you flashbacks, but like Lila's Black Sun list,
yeah,
where, you know, a double Inquisitor probably wrecks that.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it depends on a lot of things. You know, like if the Black Sun can get any shots in on the Inquisitors,
no doubt.
Clearly the Inquisitor players made a mistake in that situation.
Well, right. That's sort of, you know, like you should be up on activations. You should be able to kind of figure out when you can get your Inquisitors in there. And like if the Black Sun are closing, you're going to be able to get them in melee, right? Because, you know, that's kind of what they're doing. So, and then like Maul can't even follow up and like handle the situation once you're in there, really, not with any, you know,
not
guaranteed efficacy,
yeah.
Right? Like, so I don't know. Yeah, I think they're pretty good into basically everything other than the Republic gunlines. And I still think that, frankly, I think they're probably still pretty good against Anakin. You know, Anakin, I don't know. He just relies too much. Anakin generally uses, like, at least my play with Anakin, like, I only use Force Push maybe once a game. And it's generally pretty decisive. And if there's an Inquisitor on the table, like, I don't know. That list goes from having like two tricks to none very quickly.
Yeah, I mean that's Anakin pushing stuff into the open is like your close range slash melee unit counter in that list. And Yoda obviously has a lot more tools to deal with that, as do Arcs. So yeah, it could be decent into Anakin. It also depends. I mean, you've got like 550 points to work with after you pay for the Inquisitors, so it really depends a lot on what you do with those points. I think we're going to see a lot of different types of Inquisitor lists just because of how easy it is to just slot them into like anything.
Yeah, and I think maybe following up on your previous point about them like maybe not being as good as we expect them to be, I think that has way more to do with, I'm just going to say it out loud, Empire sucking than anything else. Like, I think if Empire had anything good going for it right now, I think it'd be feeling like a real hot drop and we wouldn't know what to do about it type situation. But I don't know, like you take your two Inquisitors and then you like look at what you can take and you're like, I don't know about you, but I'm like, I don't want to take any of this. Like it
no,
just
I'm the same. I mean, I've been struggling with that. I know a lot of people, because you go back like 4 months maybe, really before the whole Yoda resurgence thing, and Empire was doing great, they looked great, everything about them was great, but We said this before the PAX episode as sort of a predictive way that when like Republic is good, Empire is bad. And more specifically, when arcs are good, Empire is bad. And that definitely played out at PAX. And I think that's going to continue to play out at least until these guys are released. Maybe the fact that they're, you know, I think two things can be true. I think A, that they can be like ridiculously undercosted, which I think they are for what they do, especially given their unit design. I think that can be true. And also like they cannot move the needle as much as they should, given that truth, based on how much the rest of the Empire roster just kind of folds to the meta boogeyman. But you know, they could be like Dark Troopers, where they just steamroll a lot of things, the things that don't check the right boxes, and they ultimately like don't actually win that many tournaments, because you know, we refer to you know, gatekeepers one term, but basically like something that you kind of have to check a box to deal with, but it's something that like if it just runs into the wrong thing, it'll still just have a really hard time, and therefore it's, you know, it's not necessarily like an all-rounder list. And I think that could be true of Inquisitors, but
yeah, no,
they're definitely going to make a splash.
I mean, playing against two force users when someone knows what they're doing with them is, you know, generally always pretty tough, I think. If it's in any way close to like a fair like list matchup, we just have never really seen good competitive lists be able to run two force users at like and also have a backbone at all, right? But the things that you can do with two force pushes as opposed to one is it's a lot.
I mean, you can take three because you can fit Vader in there and still get to like eight, if not nine, activations.
You can also do that. You can also take Palpatine if you want to. I think you might be able to take all four.
You can take all four. I made a list like this maybe like a week or two ago. You can take all four, and I think you can still get to eight. It's definitely. I'm gonna do this just because it's.
I think I'd probably take an operative Vader in that version.
Yes, you take operative Vader in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, oh man, you can even pay for some medics if you just take Force Push on Palpatine Vader, which obviously is less than ideal. But
yeah, I think you at least want Burst on Palp.
Yeah.
And probably Anger.
Congratulations. You now have 5, 8, 14 command cards to choose from. Have fun.
Yeah, you cannot get to 8, but you can get to 7. Yeah. And still have room for medics. Yeah.
Somebody's going to do it, and somebody's going to win some games with it.
You can actually fit two medics in there.
Yeah,
that's a little bit silly. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know if that's good, but it's the thing. It's the thing you can do.
I mean, the answer is it's. I was thinking about this the other day. I watched a video on StarCraft because I love StarCraft, and they were talking about how like and there hasn't been like a good like Protoss player that's like won any championships in a really long time, and effectively the argument boiled down to like, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships. And I feel like that's kind of where Legion is right now. Like, this is a list that's like, it's purely, you've got a thing, you've figured it out, like, you know exactly what it does, but you have to know and train yourself in, like, into every specific matchup. If you run into a matchup that you haven't played before with a list like that, you're kind of going to not know what you're doing, right?
Well, and it's a very aggro. Like, we want to get to the other opponent's deployment zone as quickly as possible kind of list. And if you're running against something like Wookiees, you know, they're going to be like, oh, great. Hey, what's up?
Hey, you know, and I think like even, you know, I was talking earlier that like Inquisitors are probably good into Black Sun. I don't think this list is very good into Black Sun. Like this list, you're going to get to like, you're like, you got to step into range two eventually. And then you're just going to get shot by everything.
I mean, if you get a good and now you will die.
I guess that's kind of it, right? Like
you could easily kill like four Black Sun units with a good and now you die.
Yeah.
Which would basically be the game. So,
but that's Palpatine being good, not
sure.
To do
yeah.
with the Inquisitors, right? you know, and I think, yeah, I sort of am feeling like defense the name of the game these days, and particularly if you're looking to win 9 games in a row, you gotta feel pretty confident that you're not gonna get spiked out of the tournament, right?
Yep. Let's talk about briefly about commander pairings, because I think the command card suite here is interesting in that it has some like very obviously good slots and some other holes, and they match up pretty well with a handful of like already good Empire characters. So basically, if you look at their command hand, we're not going to go card by card here, which if you want to hear us do that, you can go back to like when they were first previewed where we did that. But the short version is the one pip that they have, which is Sister's one pip that like adds an extra dice and gives her a ton of dodge tokens, is amazing. So they have one great one pip that you pretty much always want to be taking. And this is, by the way, if you're taking both of them. Obviously, if you're only taking one of them, this conversation changes pretty drastically. But
yes.
Both two pips are good. You know, you've got the one where they can, it's like, it's not quite as good as teamwork, assuming they fix the infinite looping thing. Which I assume they'll do, because that would be a bit silly. But it definitely is like extremely useful, particularly for getting dodge tokens on Second Sister. Sorry, not Second Sister. It'd be way more awesome if it was Second Sister. It's
agreed,
Seventh Sister.
Agreed. Yeah.
And then they have the one that gives them recovers, which is also great. Both of the three pips are kind of like fine. The fact that, I mean, you noted, we were talking about this before the cast, basically the fact that they give orders to other units and their operative three pips is unusual.
That's great.
So that's great. The text effects are, the Dauntless one is actually, I think, a lot better than the Seventh Sister one, because Empire Corps, unless you're taking Krennic, tend to have a problem with losing actions to suppression. So, and it's like range 1 to 5 for some reason.
And it also is like for things that are not core units, right? Like,
sure, yep.
You know, I mean, you can give Operative Vader Dauntless if you need to.
Right, which unlikely to be necessary, but like when it is necessary, it's going to be like extremely necessary.
Right. It's going to make or break the game.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Like, so.
Yeah, I've had some rally rolls where I've had 3 suppression on Operative Vader, and it's like, if I clear a suppression, I win the game. If I don't clear a suppression, I lose the game.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway, but the point is, like, one pip, a single one pip, great. Both two pips, pretty good. The three pips, it's fine if that's what, if you're just running them, but like, you know, not critical. You could probably drop one in both of them. So the first thing I thought of when I saw this was actually Veers.
It's the first character I've played with them. Probably for the same reason that you're about to outline.
Yeah, I mean, obviously his two pip is garbage. So you're not, there's no slot competition there. He's only got the one pip, which is maximum firepower, which is still great. Or at least serviceable. Bombardments are still extremely useful. And then Imperial Discipline, which is another recover card. So they've got two cards now in your command hand that can refresh Force Push, which is relevant because they don't have Master of the Force. So,
which you know, I've probably played the Inquisitors like 6 or 7 times at this point. Like, the fact that they don't have Master of the Force is important.
yeah.
Like, you do have to recover with them, whether it's coming from command cards or just taking the action. You will be recovering with them often. So getting free ones, I think, is a big deal. Veers, I think, is a natural fit, frankly. If you're trying to do anything normal, I also think the fact that he's got spotter triggers on giving an aim token to fifth brother, gives seventh sister a dodge token.
Yep.
That's a nice synergy based thing there. Like, obviously, like an Imperial officer would be good enough for that too, but you know, it's nice to kind of have spotter hands out like three tokens instead of two, and one's a dodge. So,
assuming you give him by Nox.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's only 20 more points than an officer, and you get the command cards. You get durability, which is relevant if he's going to be like chasing after fifth brother. He actually has like a reasonable gun, which people forget about. Like it's a three dice gun at range three with crit surge and pierce, which is decent.
Yeah, well, it's not bad at all.
And he's got precise, which means if you give him an aim, you can reroll all three of those. I mean, it's basically like a mortar pool, but with pierce, which means like he's picking up a model most of the time, which is like way better than the generic officer.
Just don't let their full arc see him.
Yeah, I mean, he'll still die to like any serious unit, right? But yeah. 5 health with a red save is definitely like significantly better than 4 health with a white save.
Totally.
Iden is another one.
Ooh, you brought Iden up before Krennic, huh? Okay, all right.
Yeah, Krennic's also interesting, but at least as far as like their command hand specifically, Iden's 2-pip is fine if you're like doing the short range version of Iden, which I've done periodically, but it's definitely like her worst card. Pulse Scan is amazing. Tactical Strike obviously is amazing, and those slot in nicely where you know you've got the free 1-pip slot, and then you drop probably Seven Sisters 3-pip.
And when you say her 2-pip is terrible, you're talking about Concussive Blast, because I know you're not doing Incapacitate like that.
Oh no, Incapacitate is great if you're taking DO.
Okay.
Right. I think most of the time you don't take DO anymore. That's
I agree. I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. No. The effect on incapacitate is amazing.
Just so that we're on the level.
Yeah. Yeah. So that seems like a good fit. Iden, of course, also brings not nearly as capably as Cassian, but she brings the long range pierce high velocity marksman combo, which is obviously useful into Republic. Reasons that should be obvious, and then you can also take the extremely affordable Inferno Squad. So
yeah, I put mine together yesterday.
Yeah,
it was like, I'm sick, I'm doing it, we're putting together models. Inferno Squad is
I'm surprised you didn't have them together.
So Inferno came out sort of like, I think, relatively around when Gar started getting,
that's fair, yeah,
you know, did. Like and I was kind of when I made my swap, you know. Otherwise, I would have been playing Inferno a long time ago. But yeah, I put them together the other day.
I've used Inferno to great success, so they were very much assembled. Yeah, so Iden seems like a natural fit. Boba, yeah, I think the 1-pip slot is the most awkward, but like, do you really need a whipcord in a situation where you have 2 force pushes and 2 canceling force pushes? I don't think so, probably. And then the 3-pip, you just take both of Boba's 3-pips, and then the 2-pip, you take both of the Inquisitor's 2-pips. So
yeah, you can throw those lightsabers for 4 black dice instead of 3.
Yeah, rule with respect, not super useful on them. It's not like he helps them directly.
I really wasn't even kidding.
Okay. I mean, I don't know that you're going to be like at range 1 of Boba Fett when you're making saber throw attacks, but
I know.
Yeah. 4 black dice on a saber throw is decent.
Yeah, no, it totally is.
But yeah, it's more just that his cards fit in nicely with them, and Boba's a good unit. So yeah, you mentioned Krennic. Why do you say Krennic? I mean, I agree with you, but I'd be interested to hear your reasoning.
So he competes a little bit in the 2-pip slot. Because their 2-pips are good. But I do think this is a situation where getting Seven Sister, my experience has been, you generally want to get the Inquisitor stuck in pretty quickly.
Yeah.
and deploy the garrison is just pretty busted. If you throw standbys on both of them, and then they can't force push this, they probably can't force push the standbys off, and they can't shoot them off because they're also in melee. So they're just kind of there, and your opponent really can't do anything about it. You've got standbys ready to go. I also like think that Annihilation Looms actually combos pretty well with I Care Not for Your Struggles, and that you can lay down a bunch of suppression on everything on like turn five and make their stuff kind of worry about it. And then on turn six, you can just play I Care Not and be like, well, the things that need to go are going to go. In addition to the fact that Voracious Ambition, when you pair it with Seven Sisters Interrogate, not like the actual card with Interrogate.
The ability, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just the having Interrogate turned on or access to Voracious Ambition, it's going to let you, like, pretty much always have priority when you want it between those two effects, I think. Interrogate has been... So... When she originally got spoiled, I thought Interrogate probably wasn't going to be very good. Just because it, you know, I would say that traditional Force users have a challenging time getting close to their targets early.
Yep.
So it felt to me like it probably wasn't going to be on as fast as you'd want it to be. My experience so far in the games I've played with her has been that Interrogate's almost always on. There's nothing they can do about it because they can't force push you away. So I think between Interrogate being on for like the command cards that aren't Voracious Ambition, and then when you actually need to go first and Interrogate isn't on, you just play a Cunning One Pip. I just think it's super powerful. You're always going first with Force users isn't always the greatest thing to be doing, but when you can go first with a Force user and then back that Force user up with the later Force user, it gets a lot better.
Yeah, because the reason typically you don't go first with a Force user is because if you do that, the unit you're engaged with just withdraws and then they get shot. But if they do that in this situation, the unit that withdraws just gets force pushed straight back in.
And yeah. Not only that, but the unit that force pushed them straight back in is now going to be in melee with that unit probably too.
Yeah.
So it's just...
And then they're both safe for the rest
and they're
of
both
the game.
Safe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So because they can't be force pushed out.
Right.
Slick. Real slick. Good job, guys.
They're going to be impossible to remove once they're in your lines. What? Except by slapping them.
Yeah, you're going to have to kill these guys in melee.
Yeah.
And I think that actually maybe is a really good point. I think that you need a unit, I think, in your army that probably is going to throw at least 8 dice in melee at these guys to feel good about what's going on here, whether that's a squad of Wookiees or a squad of Mandos or full arc squad or Magnus. Like, Force users are not the answer to these guys. You need something that's going to be able to melee them out of the game with sheer dice and probably has charge.
Yeah, I mean, if you got like a lot of core units with black dice punching, you could get lucky.
You'll nickel and dime them, but it is important to note that these guys do have block.
They do have block, which means their dodges will give them surges in melee.
You know, I will say that it is a little bit of a challenge to make sure that these guys have dodge tokens when you want them to. That's not the easiest thing in the world. It's easier to get them on Seven Sister than Fifth Brother, for sure.
Oh yeah, both because of that 2-pip and then also her 1-pip card.
For 1-pip, and just because like getting a dodge on Seven Sister is easy as like aiming on Fifth Brother. I've also like took an offensive I take offensive push on Fifth Brother because specifically in the Veers list, because you can recover it with the recover cards.
Yep.
So you're like offensive pushing like three times for kind of for the 6 points basically,
yep,
in that list, which is handing her dodge tokens three times. It's and like he also can use the aim tokens, like their dice pools like aren't always gonna be, you know, all hits. So I've had some success with that. I don't know if it's like an always staple or not, but it's one of the better 6 points I think I've spent on them.
Yeah. I think offensive push generally is like, I mean, there's a reason that it completely disappeared after it went up to 6 points. I think most of the time it's not cost effective, but this is a situation since you're getting at least three uses out of it, and it gives an extra token, an extra extremely relevant token to Seven Sister in the process. I think that could potentially be worth it.
Yeah, for sure. It's got a lot of synergy there. It is kind of competing in a slot that sort of also wants tenacity on him. Just because he generally is going to be wounded. But I think offensive push is also like an aim token on Fifth Brother is going to be roughly equal to tenacity most of the time anyways. So consider that too. But
now, could you possibly get away with, depending on how they rule, if Inquisitorious training stacks? In other words, like, if you get two bites at the apple to roll those dice, if they say that the answer is no, like you only get one shot if both of them are in range, do you think you could roll with just one copy of it?
No, I don't think it's close.
Okay.
This is probably more of a personal opinion thing. I think that training upgrade is the
I get that
tone
it's
the
good.
Hot takes down, like,
sure.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering if, like, if you just give it to Seven Sister and not Fifth Brother, is she going to be able to sort of quote unquote cover him enough that, like, maybe he just doesn't need it?
What I found is that I think it depends on your army, probably, but I think that there are often times where, like let's take the times that Inquisitorious training is gonna feel busted is in situations like key positions, intercept the transmissions, breakthrough, situations where you are denying force push not on the Inquisitor but on the things that are surrounding the Inquisitor. And what I mean by that is, like, at the end of a KP game, like, you know, if Yoda gets in there and force pushes two things out, like, that generally decides the game. I've found that one Inquisitor is good, but it's not like, it's not perfect in that you can play around one zone.
But two zones is a much bigger area.
Two zones is almost impossible.
Yeah.
In a way that I think you just can't justify giving it up for 5 points. I definitely could see a world where you try to give it up. I just think that you will probably lose more games than you'll win for doing it. I suspect.
That's fair.
It's specifically in those situations, payload being another probably big one.
Like, are you bringing payload?
Probably not, but if you're, but you could very easily be red on payload.
Sure.
With this list for sure.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about it generally. I could be swayed, I think, eventually, maybe. But right now it seems like that's like one of the key reasons you're bringing two of them. I think if you're not doing that, I might only bring one, to be honest.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. What else like kind of jumps out at you as things that you'd want to do with them?
I think I've definitely tried a few dedicated melee skis with these guys. It's like fun, it's gimmicky. I don't like I would say it would feel less gimmicky if like Wookiees Ewoks weren't a thing right
Yeah.
now. But I don't like realistically, Empire doesn't have melee units that are good enough to like contest those fights. So kind of a little bit of a dream. I think and I guess that kind of kicks back to like the shell conversation. It's like, what are we putting around these guys to
All right.
make to utilize them? And I mean, to be honest, I haven't found anything I'm happy with. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily do like Iden Inferno, a couple snipers and some shores and get to like 10 activations. And that's probably where I'll start because that seems like the most like quote unquote well-rounded way to do it. But yeah, I'm nervous about the shores against Republic. I mean, it's two shore units and two mortars, and that's basically like your gun line. And that's not a lot of things.
It's not. It's enough that like once one or two of those units disappear, like you don't really have a gun line anymore.
Right.
It's you have a couple of units that are shooting at range four
You have
that
some snipers. Yeah.
might kill a model or two or whatever, right?
Right.
And so like, what do you really? And the issue is that Republic's going to kill them fast too, right? It's not like you're gonna have those units like live until turn five, and then it's like Republic's gonna either eat them at range five with sniper shots because you're trying to be cagey, or they're gonna eat them wholesale at range three because you're trying to have a fight. And in either case, like their whole purpose is to like buy time for Seven Sister and Fifth Brother to get in there, kind of. But like once they're in there, like what are they actually doing?
Especially if the rest of your army's dead.
If the rest of your army's dead, right? That's
Yeah.
what I mean. Like, so it's kind of like a chicken or the egg sort of situation. I think a list like that could work really well if you're able to get Seventh Sister and Fifth Brother into the opponent's lines before the fight starts. If you like perfect world, like you get like Limp Viz or something.
Right, yeah.
But that seems like a little bit like Christmas land, in that,
Yeah.
like, that's not going to happen every game. So, how do you make that work? I mean, I don't know. You could. The real transports, like, aren't very good to make it happen. Like, you don't want to throw, like, lats behind them to, like, I don't know. That doesn't even. I don't know. And this is kind of my challenge with these guys overall is, like, I want to be like the bell whistle. These are overpowered. They're going to be broken. Everything's going to suck. But I don't think they're going to be good.
I think they'll be great in certain matchups. And I think they'll be not great in others. Which isn't enough to make them consistently good. They're also, frankly, I mean, all force users are hard to play. And, you're doubling down on that concept with these guys. And I think there's going to be a lot of people trying to shortcut it based on their efficiency, and it's not going to go well. Don't know if I can say that any more delicately, but
No, continue, please.
yeah, I look, force users are hard to play. It's a high skill cap unit, and these guys are not any different than that. So I think that's probably enough about that particular like. There's going to be a lot of people making Inquisitors look bad. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I do
Or at least
think.
mediocre.
Yeah, and I think the fact that their stat block is actually not very good is going to compound that. It's challenging to finish units with these units against a competent like opponent. I've had a couple situations where like It sometimes Fifth Brother like ends up like immobilized because like you need it to do something weird and janky. And then also like the interaction between immobilized tokens and RAM, I don't know if we talked about that when we previewed them, is also like really funky and kind of a little silly.
Yeah, because if your speed is one and you perform a speed one move, you're still fulfilling the obligations under RAM.
You got it.
Yeah.
So you can kind of manipulate that if you need to. You also like for those of you that haven't run a, I think is this the first infantry model that has a RAM? This is the first infantry model that has RAM on it. And by infantry, I mean like not a creature trooper.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other unit with RAM is Tauntauns, right?
Do backs not have it? That's
No, Dewbacks don't have RAM.
okay. I feel like there's a command card somewhere that gives somebody RAM, but I could be wrong. Anyways, because it's an infantry unit, you can just like put the movement tool at a 90 degree angle and have them go in like a really weird direction and like ram something that's like 2 inches from him, or I don't know what the actual distance is,
Yeah.
but like
Yeah,
you
it doesn't have to
don't.
be a straight move.
It doesn't have, and oftentimes won't be, if because RAM's really good.
Yep.
What was the original question? I'm sorry, I'm sick and forgetful.
I don't remember.
Okay. Play back the tape. Play back the tape. We don't have that privilege, unfortunately. I honestly don't remember. I'm gonna be honest. This morning when I went to take my medication, I definitely walked into the bathroom, like got, I, with the intention of like getting my medication out. It was just like painkillers, right?
Yep.
And by the time, like 5 minutes later, I couldn't remember if I took it or not.
I've been there.
And,
That happens to me when I'm not sick.
okay, well, there you go. I mean, like, but it was like, yeah, it felt really weird. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know.
Hey man, it happens. I'll put like this happens particularly when I'm getting kids out of the house, but like I'll remember I will successfully get all the kids' things and the children out of the house and remember none of my own things. To the point where like I'll hang my lunch on the doorknob, I'll put my gym bag like literally like blocking the door on the way out, and I'll be walking out and be like, what's this crap in front of the door? And I'll like kick it out of the way and leave. And then I'll get to work and I'll be like, where's my gym bag? Oh, it's in front of the door that I had to move out of the way so that I could leave. So yeah. It happens, man. It's,
Does.
you know,
It's just,
they say that basically once you hit 30, it's like all downhill,
well,
mentally speaking.
I've been here for 4 years already.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, I've been forgetting things all day, so yeah, what else do you want to talk about in reference to Inquisitors?
I don't know. I feel like we've talked about a lot. I don't want to like over talk about Inquisitors because A, we did an entire episode about them when they were released. And if you, like I said, we talked about the command cards. If you want to hear our opinions on Inquisitorious training, you can also go see that episode. So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to try them. It's unclear to me that the Empire shell you're putting around them is going to be good enough for me to actually want to take them to an 8-round tournament. But we'll see. You know, they're Force users. Force users are my thing. I don't know. I'm going
So
to give them a shot.
here's a question.
Yep.
How do you feel about them in the mirror?
Like against other Inquisitors?
Yeah.
That sounds horrible. It sounds like one of
I'm
the most unpleasant mirror experiences in existence.
nobody gets to force push. You
Well, I
don't get
mean,
to
it's
force
basically going to
push.
come down to like who rolls the first blank on the training,
Yeah.
right? I think that's most of like assuming two players of equal skill, it's going to be like who's rolling less paint, and probably who rolls the first non-paint, and that's going to be like the difference maker in the game.
Because whatever's getting force push is going to immediately die, probably.
Most likely, yeah. So I'm not looking forward to that. I'll just say that. there are most mirrors of like highly competitive lists. I don't want to say it, because I had some actually very fun Blizzard Force mirrors, because Blizzard Force for all the rightful hate that it got is actually like a very dynamic and fun list. So I will say that those mirrors were actually pretty fun. But generally speaking, mirrors tend to be not fun. And I feel like in this situation, it's exacerbated because the defining aspect of the unit is preventing your opponent from doing something. And when you've got that on both sides, it's just a recipe for boredom and frustration, frankly.
So. That's fair. So, all right, follow-up question.
Yeah.
Let's envision a world where we're totally wrong and Seventh Sister and Fifth Brother make Imperials like the best thing ever. Does units like Asajj and Dooku get better because they've got like Makashi and these guys are super squishy?
No, because it's not about... Look, Makashi is good at damaging other Force users, but like... And I want to be too careful about making this sound like Force Push is like... We've talked previously about Force Push and like, is Force Push too good? Force Push is just like a defining aspect of what Force users do. You know, it'd be like taking away a Wookiee fighter's ability to melee, basically. And Force user duels tend to come down to the control of melee engagements. And yes, it's important to like whack at them with your lightsabers. And Makashi means you could do some significant damage to one of these Inquisitors with Makashi. But I think the fact that like Dooku and Ventress are not going to be able to control those melee engagements, you know, that's going to be significant. Now, if they're bringing like a bunch of Magna Guard and the Magna Guard just like beat down the Inquisitors anyway, then it probably doesn't matter.
Sure.
Dooku's almost 200 points. Once you give him upgrades, he's more than 200 points. Ventress is 160 plus upgrades. You know, each Magna Guard unit is 100. Like, even if you're bringing a one, that's what? Almost 400 points? More than 400 points. It's 500 points of stuff.
Yeah, Magna Guards aren't cheap.
So, like, yeah, like, Dooku and Ventress and one or more Magna Guards should kill Inquisitors. But, you know, that's like more than two-thirds of your list. So, and the Inquisitors are half the cost. So it's not quite as simple as like just having a brawl with those units.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just figured we'd shout it out to our listeners here.
Sure, because right. A lot of people have been like, what about Dooku? Will he be good against them? And I think the short answer is like, individually, the Dooku unit will be probably fine against them. But it's not just about him, because, you know, he costs what they cost, basically.
You get two of them for his cost.
Yeah. He should be pretty good against an Inquisitor when he's almost double what they cost.
Yeah. So what about Force upgrades? You think you're taking anything on the Force push? I'm having a hard time seeing that, to be honest.
I think there's like a weird use case where you could try and argue that you should take Barrier.
That's the only other one that I've really messed around with at all. I just like, it doesn't lean into what Empire is good at. It's like putting Barrier on Darth Vader. You know, it's like, can you do it? Yeah. Will it be okay? Yeah. Is it like really augmenting what you're doing in a way that is useful?
It feels like a waste. Like, if you really want to do that, like, you could just buy five medics.
Yeah.
I think there's a case for it. I think it's probably just going to be force push, because you want these guys up in your opponent's grill. They are melee they are themselves melee aggressive force users, and you need to be able to control your melee engagements when you do that. So,
follow up question. Do you think that these guys should inform the upgrades that people are taking on other force users? Obviously, everybody is still going to take force push. You can't not take force push on a force user. For the most part, there are a couple, there's like one exception.
I think the answer is I'm just not taking them.
Sure. I'm asking, in a world where you are, do you feel like you know, this maybe changes you from, you know, taking force barrier on Anakin to saber throw? Does it just stuff like that, where like, oh, Inquisitors are going to be in my lines, that means barrier might be shut down too, I'm gonna take something that's not tappable.
I already take saber throw on Anakin.
Okay, but sure.
But I could see an argument for like tipping the scale in that direction.
That's sort of what I'm asking. You know, yeah. Like for instance, like on Yoda, like are you maybe taking battle meditation instead of like force guidance and stuff like that? Like minor tweaks that people are already playing around with, but you know, do you feel like that the presence of these characters alone is enough to kind of force those types of decisions? Not that we have to talk to any specific decision, but do you think that should inform people's decisions?
I don't think so. I think if you're already running Anakin, Yoda, or Ahsoka, you should just keep taking what you're taking. I think if you're running probably any other force user, you should probably just not do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
And then otherwise, I don't think it really affects your list building decision that much. That's how I personally view it. You know, and people have generally been taking those. We said this at the beginning of the episode. The ones that these guys hedge out are the ones that have already been kind of significantly nerfed anyway. So, you know, I would not have personally been running them anyway. But I think if you're like one of the people that's still running Luke or Dooku or whoever, I would just find something else to do personally, unless you're like really married to that character from a identity perspective. But yeah, that's kind of how I view it. If you're already playing Anakin, keep playing Anakin the way that you're doing it. If you're already playing Yoda, keep playing Yoda the way that you're doing it. Same with Ahsoka. So,
nothing to fear here.
Yeah, I mean, I think just as far as like which force upgrades are most affected by this, clearly force push is number one on the list. Yep. I think something like burst, which is a discard and B like won't typically be in range of this. Does this even work on
it? Doesn't cards? Hit. It doesn't hit burst. No.
Oh, it literally doesn't work at all on burst. Okay. Yep. So there you go. I mean, burst was already good. This literally does nothing to burst. So if you're somebody that was taking bursts, keep taking burst. You know, there are a lot of other exhaustible force upgrades like reflexes.
Thankfully, they nerfed the hell out of force check, so we really don't have to worry about that conversation these days.
No, I mean, that would have been another one where this, it would have been a big deal, but like it sucks now, so it doesn't matter.
yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So, you know, part of the reason force push is like the first choice for most force slots is there's just really not that many force upgrades that are good. You know, this is not going to make people take other stuff. It's just going to make the stuff that people are already taking less effective. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. I know that was a long answer to your question, but I wouldn't change what you're doing. You listener, keep doing what you're doing. Unless you want to play Inquisitors and then do that. But
or don't. I'd be happy with that too.
That's fair. All right. Any other thoughts? I'm excited about eating hot dogs in 2 months, roughly.
Hot dogs. I'm sorry. Does what?
Chicago style hot dogs.
I thought it was the pizza.
The pizza is also good.
No, I'm not sure I've had a hot dog in Chicago before.
Okay, we're gonna remedy that.
Okay. How I'm not is this is a thing? And how have I not heard about this before? I've been to Chicago like four times now.
You have not heard of Chicago style hot dogs?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm also pretty forgetful at the moment, so
right.
Who knows? But
I feel embarrassed that I do not know this by heart, but I will get you the. Let me just read the description of a Chicago style hot dog.
Okay.
Because they're delicious. And I know this is not going to sound like something that is delicious.
I mean, there are delicious hot dogs out there. I'm not one of those people that like looks down on the hot dog. You can make them taste good.
No, I just mean like it's kind of a smorgasbord.
That's fine.
And there's no ketchup. Ketchup is absolutely not allowed.
There's got to be mustard.
There
there's
is
not,
mustard.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Vienna beef.
Okay.
So it specifically has to be Vienna beef. Poppy seed bun, yellow mustard, neon green relish, chopped white onion, tomato slices, dill pickle spear, pickled sport peppers, and celery salt.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
They're delicious.
I believe that.
Yeah, you can. It's hard to find them outside the Chicago area. You know, I grew up in Chicago, and it's like one of my favorite things to eat whenever I go back. There, I have to go to Portillo's at least once. Portillo's is they sell Chicago style hot dogs. They sell a lot of other things that are also very delicious. But yeah, whenever I go back to the Chicago area, I'm like, I have to go to Portillo's while I'm here.
That's not the pizza place, right?
No. They don't have pizza.
Okay.
It's hot dogs. They have burgers. They have very delicious Italian beef, French fries. They actually have pretty good salads too. But yeah, they don't have pizza. Pizza for me is either Giordano's or Chino's East.
Giordano's, that's the place. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It was also a place that sounded Italian, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, we'll get you a Chicago style hot dog when we go. We'll go to Portillo's.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. excuse me.
So yeah, and maybe I'll be playing Inquisitors. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
I will say it is appealing to me. I still do not have my rebels. Rebels are just so much work to paint if you want to like do it properly. And my Empire stuff is like fully painted. So all I'd have to do for most of these Inquisitor lists is just paint the two Inquisitors and nothing else. So
you're gonna have to do it in what, 2 weeks?
That's not a problem.
Okay, all right.
I mean, it's only two miniatures. I can do that.
Works for. So,
yeah,
but they've got four lightsabers.
It's two spinning lightsabers. Each one has two blades on it.
Yeah, I
don't know how they don't like cut their own limbs off of those things. By the way, like, I mean, it seems like having a laser sword in your hand would already be significantly dangerous. And then you make it essentially like a helicopter blade that you're holding next to your body. That seems. I don't know. I don't know how they don't cut their legs or their other arms off or their heads or whatever. But that's just me.
I will say I was like a little bit surprised that they didn't like build the spinning thing into their profile more.
Yeah, because that's like a defining element of whenever you see them in media is the freaking spinning lightsaber. And it's like it's just the darksaber, basically.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's why they have block, and obviously they've got their like Thrones spinning lightsaber profile.
Yeah.
But like I kind of expected them to have like hover or like something, you know. I don't know.
But that's easily like the stupidest thing about the spinning lightsaber.
Yeah, but it is possibly one of the most defining things about the spinning lightsaber.
That's fair. I'd rather they just have like an abnormally good saber throw or something.
What if they gave us a miniature where they were just on like one of those arc flight stands and were holding it up in the air? Would you still buy it?
I think I would just for the memes.
Okay.
And I would make a helicopter noise whenever I moved them.
That would be hilarious.
Or whenever they jumped, anyway, or if they had like hover or something, I'd be like,
I feel like there was a missed opportunity here. We got like three Yodas in the Yoda box.
I'm sure that some enterprising hobbyists will figure out a way to put them in the helicopter pose and stick them on top of a flight stand.
Yeah.
Listeners, if one of you does that, send it in to us. I would love to see it.
Yeah, maybe we'll even put it in the YouTube video.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm sure somebody's up to that challenge. I know when Ventures came out, there was somebody that it wasn't the actual manager, but somebody did Photoshop a folding chair into Ventress's hands, and that was fantastic. So,
wait, what do you mean? Like as if she was like a WWE wrestler or something.
Yeah, that's the okay. the pose with her lightsabers where she's got them like behind.
Oh yeah, you know? I never thought about that.
It's absolutely the WWF folding chair pose.
Okay.
That's like all I could see when I first saw that miniature. So one of our listeners made a Photoshop of the Ventress miniature holding a folding chair.
Somebody's gotta make a lightsaber chair. That's gotta happen.
Yeah, that could easily be a thing. Just put like the chair part in between the lightsaber blades.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, all right. Well, we are the Notorious Scoundrels. I'm Kyle.
Yeah, I'm Mike.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.